The scripture of the service is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. The 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the members of more than 6,300 branch churches in the United States of America, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, Dagestan, and other countries, and branch churches and local centers in Korea, and members who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and all the TV viewers. This is the ninth session of the sermon series, Spiritual Love. Today, I will continue to testify to spiritual kindness from the last session. Last session, I explained about spiritual kindness, right? So, please make out of a bread. Make bread out of it, okay? If you don't know spiritual meaning of this kindness, then you have no idea how you can accomplish your heart into kindness. You should know it, okay? When someone sees a person whose heart is broad and meek, people say he has a heart as broad as an ocean. Most of the water flowing on earth runs down through mountain hills and valleys in streams and in rivers that enter the sea. The sea receives not only the water flowing into it, but also everything that's included in the water. Sometimes clean water enters the sea, but some other times the water joining the sea includes remains of the villages destroyed by floods or wastewater pouring out of factories. The sea still receives all these things and holds them calmly. In addition, the water cleanses and purifies various dirty things. Because the sea embraces everything and purifies it, people say the sea maintains the life of this earth. Of course, our Father God puts saltiness in that ocean to purify. So it becomes a great strength to purify the things in the sea. It's not coincidence. Everything was planned by our Father God to give life and to purify. It doesn't happen by chance, okay? If each of you accomplishes a heart as broad and kind as an ocean, you can embrace and guide to sanctification any soul who is filled with any kind of sins and darkness, so that more souls can be saved and put into the arms of the Lord when He comes again. Through this message, I wish all of you will be filled with the grace and inspiration from Father God and accomplish kind heart that is as broad and huge and great as an ocean. Therefore, as written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. May each of you inherit a huge land. Except some people who have a smile on his face, they know what it means. Don't you remember what Beatitudes is? You should remember Beatitudes, right? The nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual love, and Beatitudes. You should remember all of them. If you are just at the second level of faith, at least, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. So, Father God said, you know, if you become gentle and kind, Father God will give you the earth and the kingdom of heaven. How blessed are you? May each of you inherit a huge land in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. The earth does not mean the fleshly earth, that is the earth, the land, not like ground, dust. Okay? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last session, I explained about kindness as one of the concepts of love. With kind heart, you can embrace anyone, and many people can rest in your heart. In other words, such a heart is like fluffy cotton or a cooling shade of a tree. You have to remember that the one who is so innocent and humble that he simply laughs in any circumstances is not spiritually kind. Some people will have a very evil heart, but because of habit, some people, you know, those people can make smile on their face. You know, there are some employee, you know, who gives, you know, smile to their, you know, customers all the time, but some of them are not gentle and kind, okay? When your heart has no evil at all, but full of spiritual love, you can patiently wait and forgive the other, no matter how what kind of troubles he causes you. And this is true kindness. In more detailed explanation, I told you that spiritual kindness refers to the state of the mixture of inward kindness and outward virtue. So you have to kind inwardly, and you have to show virtue outwardly. It should be stay together. If you don't have virtue outside, no matter what kind of kindness you may have, you cannot be called kind. No matter how kind you may be inwardly, if you are not virtuous, your kindness cannot shine, but instead the light of your kindness withers. For example, let's say someone is so kind and gentle, but the outside, he is always, you know, active, you know, makes, you know, people fun all the time. Then do you think people will say that he is gentle and kind? That's why you should have inward kindness and outward virtue. If you accomplish virtue, you can gain the hearts of many people and do great works. Between the inward kindness and outward virtues, I will explain to you what to do to accomplish inward kindness today. Dear brothers and sisters, in order to accomplish kindness, first of all, you have to get rid of evils from the hearts and become sanctified. I told you that a kind heart is like cotton. What is cotton like? Cotton is not hard, but soft. It doesn't insist on its own shape. It is cozy and warm. When a stone falls down onto cotton, the cotton does not make a sound, but it comfortably embraces the stone. This kind of heart, if you have it, how great it is. So many people will take a rest in your heart. You will just embrace someone, you know, hits you and understand him, how great you are. Somebody calls you bad names, but you don't hate them. You embrace them. Then you will never have an enemy. In the same way, a kind person doesn't cry out whoever tries to quarrel against him, but accepts and embraces him like cotton. If you have a sharp heart of hatred, jealousy, and envy, or a hard heart that is like self-righteousness and unyielding self-frame, it is difficult for you to embrace the other like cotton. All the servants of God and elders, please listen to this message carefully. You must have this kind of kindness and gentleness in your heart. You should not, you know, hate, or you should not, you know, envy someone. You know, you should embrace everybody. I'm not saying that all the elders are bad, okay? Elders are at least better than you are. They are gentle and they are kind from their lifetime experience. I don't ask those elders to have kindness just only because they are not, I mean, they are, you know, worse than you are. They are better than you are. But I ask them to come to Spirit and the Holy Spirit all the more quickly. than other people. So that's why I ask him. If a stone falls down onto the other solid stone or metal, it makes noises and bounces off. In the same way, if your fleshly self is still alive, you make noise and cause troubles, no matter how little discomfort the other causes. Also, you may complain, grumble, or show ill feelings towards the people who have some transgressions, defects, and faults. You may not cover or understand them, but judge, condemn, gossip against, and slander them. Then what is this heart like? This heart is like a vessel that is too small to contain something. If you try to put something into a small vessel, it brims over like the heart of a narrow-minded person. The big bowl in a big vessel can hold much, but small vessel is overflowing easily, right? Someone with a narrow-minded is like a small vessel. You should know what narrow-minded heart is. And then please check whether you have a narrow mind or broad mind. When someone rebukes you, then you got angry easily. Or when someone tries to talk about you, when you try to listen to it, this is all the aspect of a narrow-minded person. You have to get over it. You have to ignore. Unless they told you directly. Someone talks to you directly, then you can explain, or sometimes you can just ignore.
Wait a minute, some people are talking about me. What they're talking about me?
You don't need to worry about them. Yesterday, there was a press conference. They were using some vocabulary that they should not use. I mean, that was beyond imagination. Someone said during the press conference, some reformative news press tries to destroy or crush. Even in the newspaper, some people are using very harsh languages. I mean, isn't it better to use a little bit a better words to embrace people? If he speaks this kind of language, then the other part will, stand against him. If he had a broad mind, then he would have embraced them. In order to possess the kind heart, you have to cast off the attributes of a narrow-minded man. When you have completely cast them off, you can embrace all kinds of souls. So elders, you must be able to embrace everybody, since you are elders. Now can you? Now look around. Can you? Can you embrace others? Just look around. Are you in peace? Don't you quarrel? Don't you use harsh languages? But, embrace them? Not many people say amen. Today, from this on, this is the time that you receive grace from Father God and become gentle and kind elders. All the people, all the congregation too. You must be gentle, cell leader, district leader, and servants. You must be like this. Even if you are not, you must make a decision to become like that from this time on. Someone, you know, came to my office and said, I wanted to move out, but my parish pastor and grand parish pastor are so great, so I cannot move out. I love them so much, so I cannot move out because of them. Don't you think that parish pastor and grand parish pastor are embracing him? What about this dead man who doesn't move out? Sanctification and having no evil in heart is the fundamental condition of kindness. The reason is that when there is no evil, you can cherish others in your heart, and you can see them through goodness and love. A man with a kind heart views others and waits for them with a heart of compassion and mercy. If you have evils and lack love in heart, you may look at the others judgingly and condemningly. Moreover, you may repay evil with evil. But Father God is kinder than anyone else. Now, what is His heart like? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. This word was given to Israel when the kingdom of Judea did not live by the word of God, committed serious sins, and was destroyed by Babylon, and the people of Israel were taken away as captives. This is the heart of Father God that wants to give His children life, peace, and hope, even though they live in sin. He rules over everything by justice. But the original heart of Father God is love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the scripture from Psalm chapter 103, verses 8 through 14, I wish for you to feel the heart and love of Father God for human beings, His children. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. The original state of Father God. If you have reached the level of faith of Father, then you can understand this. He is slow to anger. There are many people, no matter, whether they know Father God or not, there are some people who make complaints against Father God all the time. When there is flood, they complain against God, even though they don't know about God. When there is no rain, they complain against God, Father God again. When something is prosperous, then they say it is due to their wisdom and experience. When something doesn't go wrong, something doesn't go the way they expected, then they complain against Father God. So many Gentile people complain against Father God. There are even believers who complain against Father God. Even though they made a mistake and involved in an accident, they complain against God. They don't even have a faith to be protected by Father God. But they still complain against God. They overspeeded and got in a car accident. There was a car collision accident. But still, he made complaints against Father God. What he should do to be protected? He must worship the Lord. He must keep the Sabbath holy and give tithe. Believers and non-believers, young or old, they make complaints against Father God. Still, our Father God is slow to anger. And Father God gives sunlight to the innocent and the guilty. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. If you repent and turn back, then our Father God forgives. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. If he has dealt with us according to our sins, then nobody could survive, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. What is to fear God? What is to fear God? Please raise your hand if you know what is to fear God. Okay, put it down. The answer can be found in Ecclesiastes. It gives the most clear answer and the most easiest answer. If you fear Father God, then Father God will love you. But you should know what is to fear God, right? I've told you many times, but you slipped it through one ear and the other ear. If you elders, if you don't know it, then it's a problem. As far as the east is from the west. Now, how far is the east from the west? Do you know how far? Do you know? It's infinite. It's infinite. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. And he doesn't even remember. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So please read the Ecclesiastes, okay? I'm not going to give you the answer. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows us. Sometimes we make a firm decision and resolution. But there are so many who doesn't keep that decision and resolution. From tomorrow, I will pray. But someone calls you and try to give you some good things. Or someone asks you to accompany him, then you break your promise. Since Father God knows us, you should not say that, oh, I can't do that because God knows my, you know, original state. Father God loves us that much because he thinks that we wear the flesh that is formed from dust. He understands us deeply and patiently waits. If you take off every kind of evil and become sanctified, you can understand the heart of Father God and resemble his heart. And so, look at everything from his sight. Then you will have no desire to judge and condemn others in the heart at all. But instead, you will try to understand others and live in love and goodness and to follow the others' opinion. Then, whoever comes forth with evils will receive warmth and comfort like cotton from you. So, any cold heart will melt down. Was it Friday online service or Saturday yesterday? There was someone from China. She tried to come to Mommy Church, but she couldn't come. She longed to come to this Mommy Church. But whenever she went to other churches, those churches, you know, told her not to go to Mammon Church. You know, other churches, there are many, many good people with good heart. But some people in those churches told her not to come to church. Do you know what that means? Come to our church. That's what that means. So she couldn't come to this church. She didn't know where to go to Mammon Church. But she met someone who was, you know, distributing Mammon newspaper. And then he asked him, he got it. And then, but she took it and she snapped it. And then, I want to go to Mammon Church. Where is it? I want to go to Mammon Church. So she finally came to Mammon Church. Toward such people who misunderstand this church, I pray for them so that Father God can give them grace so that they can repent and turn back. For those dying souls, I gave thanks offerings for them, for those people who judge and condemn us, this church. I gave offerings so that Father God can lead them to salvation. For those people who judge and condemn this church, I gave offerings to Father God. How poor they are. They don't know. And they are heading to hell. This is the church that loves Father God, prays for Father God a lot, loves Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ, got the Trinity, heaven and hell. This church clearly explains there is heaven and hell. This church is the one who tells you to live by the word of God. That's why there is a manifestation of God's power. But they judge and condemn this church. How can they go to heaven? That's why I gave offerings to Father God so that He can lead them to salvation. Sanctification is more important to church leaders who teach many souls. If the slightest evil, including self-righteousness and self-frame, remain, fleshly thoughts will follow you, and you fail to discern the conditions of the souls. You'll not be able to guide the souls to green pastures and still waters like our God and Good Shepherd the Lord did. It is because you fail to discern the will of Father God exactly. Instead, you may lead the souls in the way according to your own thoughts. That's the way according to your own thought, not according to Father God's will. Only when you become completely sanctified and have no evil at all, can you be guided completely by the Holy Spirit, and in turn, be able to guide the souls to the best way by precisely discerning their conditions 100%. Dear brothers and sisters, the reason that you have to get rid of every form of evil from the heart and become sanctified to accomplish hearts of kindness is because you can be considered really kind by Father God only when you have no evil in your heart. It is very important for your meekness to be recognized by Father God. When you are still not perfect, you may form the frameworks of the truth with the messages preached, thinking this and that are the standards of kindness on your own. So many believers have this kind of frame out of messages that is not correct. For example, when we cry out in our prayer, some churches teach them that you cry out in your prayer only when you're newcomers. When your faith becomes increased, then you should come in your prayer. So people are taught that way, and they believe that that is the truth. But if you read the Bible, there is the answer. Our Lord and all the apostles and forefathers of faith, Peter, John, they cried out in their prayer. And the Father God told us to cry out in our prayer. Now, because they teach like that, people think wrong and misunderstand. They try to pray in silence. But the Bible doesn't tell us like that. We have to cry out in prayer. Just read what our Lord did when He in His prayer. He prayed fervently so that even the drops of His forehead dropped down as in the blood. Now what about the Bartimaeus, the beggar? When he came to the Lord, he said, "The Son of David, Lord," he cried out. What did our Lord did to Lazarus, who died 4 days ago? But our Lord said, "Lazarus, come out," in loud voice. His soul left from his body. But he, our Lord, cried in loud voice. If you read the Bible, then there must be understanding from the Bible. I have to cry out in our prayer. That is the truth. And why is that the Father God asked us to, cry out in our prayer? But some churches teaches people wrong. And because of those wrongful, because of those incorrect teachings, they have, misunderstood standards of kindness. We have a theological seminary which teaches the correct way, guided by our Father God. Our theological seminary may look a little bit shrewded and small, but from the perspective of Father God, that is the best theological seminary. But there are some even people who came to me to pray for them because they go to other theological seminary. If you truly love God, if you truly understand the will of Father God, if you truly want to be the true man of God, you should know where to go. Theological seminary with the outward great and luxurious, that's not the school that our Father God wants. That's why you have to find the answer from the Bible. The answer can be found in the Bible. You have to read the Bible. You have to meditate on the Bible. You should not depend on the word of human beings. There are many traditions of the elders. There are many wrong teachings. And so many people have that kind of teachings in their heart, and they judge and condemn, even though they don't know what hypocrisy means. They don't know even the definition of the hypocrisy. Our members meet some people who don't know the definition of hypocrisy. Our members ask, "What is the definition of hypocrisy?" And they said, "They don't know." Then why do you say we are a hypocrisy? And they say, "Well, people, some others say it like that." They don't even know the definition of hypocrisy, and they judge and condemn some churches as hypocrisy. You should not do so. You should not judge other churches as a hypocrisy. You should not do so. There is the Lord in that church. If you call it hypocrisy, it is the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. So you should not do so. Unless there is a solid evidence. Like if they deny the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, if they deny the existence of the God Trinity, if they read other than Bible, then that is the hypocrisy. That's the evidence of the hypocrisy. Okay? Other than that, you should not judge or condemn those churches as hypocrisies. If they believe in Father God, believe in the Bible, believe in the God Trinity, you should not judge them. Let me talk to you about the 12th chapter of Numbers. This chapter helps you understand that the human standard of meekness is different from the divine standard. In this chapter, Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam rebuked Moses because of his deeds had not been agreeable with their own thoughts. And you know this, right? Numbers chapter 12, verse 2 says, they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. Who are they? They're Aaron and Miriam, okay? So the Lord heard it. Aaron and Miriam said, not only Moses, but they too received God's love. So it was proper for them to rebuke Moses. They say that they communicated with Father God. What did God say to them after he heard them? In the verse 8, God became angry with Aaron, with Aaron and Miriam. And he said, "I speak to him face to face, even openly, and not in dark sayings." Some people try to whisper, "Don't ever do that again." Whenever there is someone else, I don't like the people who whispers to my ears. There is no secret with me. You can speak loudly. And he sees the form of the Lord. "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The servant of God, Moses, speaking against his servant, is speaking against God. God does not forgive. That's why there is the word given by our Father God in 1998 and 1999. There are people who haven't repented yet. Some people say that they repented before me, but there are still things that they haven't repented of. Our Father God didn't forgive even Moses' brother and sister when they spoke against his servant Moses. Our Father God openly tells me what to do and what would happen in the future. But if they speak against me, if they speak against me and gossiped against me, then they should be afraid. I mean, they should know what they are doing. Miriam was stricken with leprosy. Aaron and Miriam thought that they had received love from God at some degree. Aaron was appointed to prophecy for Moses by God himself, and Miriam was also called prophetess. So they had self-righteousness. But since they had not accomplished complete sanctification and had evils in heart, their self-righteousness could be provoked, and they committed a serious sin of judging Moses, a man of God. Moses is the one who listens to the voice of God. You should not judge them. Because Only our Father God knows the hearts of each individual. How can you judge them? If you judge them, it is to judge Father God, okay? God didn't consider them as right. Even though Moses looked wrong in human sight, Moses was not wrong in the sight of God who sees the heart of each individual. From the newcomers, I thought Moses is right, even when I was a newcomer. And Father God explained to me what it is about. That's why God didn't accept Aaron and Miriam when they condemned and slandered what Moses had done. Moses, of course, there was no Holy Spirit. It was not the era of Holy Spirit. Unless Father God tells him to do something, and he doesn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He always did something at the supervising of Father God. Now, what was Moses like? Just as said in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Is he humble? I mean, is he virtuous? Why don't you say amen? I'm telling you about his humbleness. So the Moses, humble, was more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Moses was a man who had the inward kindness and outward virtues. Okay? Moses was deemed gentler than anyone else on the face of the earth by God. In addition, Moses was faithful in all God's house, so he was trusted and favored by God. Sometimes people around me thrilled. Early this morning, there was a word from God, but I couldn't understand it. I was thinking over and over again, what that meant. And someone came to me, and then I couldn't understand what Father God meant this morning. So I was wondering. But this morning, someone came to me, and they told me something. And when when he told me, then I was thrilled. There was Edward Lee right beside me. Because our Father God was so precise and told me the exact figures in his word. It was the conversation yesterday. It was the exact number. So I was so thrilled. So he was trusted and worthy to see the image of God and talk with God face to face. Moses resembled God that much and abounded in mercy and compassion. In other words, spiritual love. So, when Miriam became accursed with leprosy for condemning Moses, he cried out to God and earnestly prayed that God might heal her. If you meditate on the process in which the Israelites walked out of Egypt and marched toward the land of Canaan, you can understand why God vindicated Moses, and you can feel the meekness of Moses. After the exodus from Egypt, the Israelites continued disobeying the will of God and sinned. When they met with small troubles, they complained against Moses, a man of God, which means they grumbled against God. God rescued them from the suffering of slavery in Egypt through Moses. But when the army of Egypt chased them, they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt?" Meanwhile, the Red Sea was parted into two through Moses' earnest prayer. The people crossed in safety and praised God after they found the Egyptian soldiers drowned to death. But their thanksgiving was passing, and they frequently complained against Moses and grumbled against God for having no food and no water. They even tried to stone Moses. No matter how many and great wonders and signs that God showed, the people of Israel changed their mind and stood against Moses. But Moses' love for them was not shaken at all. Those wonders and signs that Moses manifested, if they are summed, it is much less than the signs and wonders that took place in this church. But still, Moses was the man of God who manifested so far the highest level of power. But in this church, I have shown and manifested such great wonders and signs of Father God. But there are still people who don't obey yet. Can you understand those dragonflies? Those dragonflies, you can understand them. But you can because you saw them and you touched them with your own eyes and with your own hands. And I told you that those dragonflies will disappear suddenly. I told you that those dragonflies will disappear on the 11th day of August. Then 20, I'm not sure, okay? I told you on 10th. So 31st is the 21st day after I said that. You know, someone said, you know, the dragonflies appeared in 20 days. So, but I said, no, it's 21 days. But he didn't say amen. So I counted so that you can understand. So they disappeared in 21 days, right? So Father God answered, and those dragonflies disappeared on the day that I have thought of. What kind of wonders and signs is this? So many branch churches and local sanctuaries, those, you know, dragonflies appeared on them, just as I said, and those dragonflies all disappeared. And what kind of wonders and signs this is? Every corner where our members are in this globe, those dragonflies appeared. How can you explain it? If there is any mass media who tries to deny this fact, then please show our videotapes. Those dragonflies landed on your finger, came to your room, those countless dragonflies. Doesn't matter whether they are young or old, those dragonflies, you know, landed on their nose, fingers, chests, and heads. Each time Moses accepted them with mercy and unfailing love and tried his best to lead all the people to the land of Canaan in prayers to God.
나갔습니다. 제가 이런 말을 이렇게 자주 잠자를 하지 않으면 그럼 또 그거 가지고 또 문제 삼는 분 있어요.
There are even some people who complain. And, you know, the senior pastor is repeating dragonflies all the time, again and again and again. Some people complain against that. Even though I repeat it again and again, there are some people who still do not, who still don't obey. Our Lord, Moses, emphasized the most important word again and again. Why did they so? Why did they repeat it? Because it is important. Because you don't put it in your heart. Because you don't remember. Even if I repeat it again and again, there are still people, I'm pretty sure they will forget again. Some of you new believers should believe it. That's why I repeat it again and again. But then, do you think I'm going to repeat it again in about 2 or 3 months later? So please understand. I'm not repeating it because I like it. I'm repeating it for the favor of yours. You know, your parents asked you to study, study, study. Even from when you're in elementary school students. Please look around when you cross the street. They repeat it again and again and again. Why did they do so? Because you do not put them in your heart. And they don't study. That's why your parents ask you to study, study, study. Since you don't obey and do not study, that's why your parents tell you study and study. So don't say that, our mom always tells me to study and study. I mean, this is too stressful. And they are the students who don't study well. All the students in the second floor. If you study well, your parents didn't tell you to study, right? In the 32nd chapter of Exodus, you can find how outstanding Moses' kindness was. And it tells you what true kindness is. Moses climbed the mountain in Sinai to receive the commandments of God. But when he was slow to return, the Israelites made an idol in the image of calf, worshipped it, ate and drank, and danced. God told Moses that he would destroy them. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, Moses earnestly prayed for them, saying, "But now, if you will, forgive their sin. If not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written." Your book here refers to the book of life, in which the names of the saved children of God are recorded. The phrase, blotting him from the book, tells you that Moses were ready to go to hell unless God forgave them. Moses had the desire to save the people of Israel by substituting his life for them. He was not looking for his own benefit. He did only for the glory of God. If those Israelites had been destroyed by those Egyptian soldiers, then what would the people have told about our Father God? That's why our Father God accepted Moses' prayer. Moses was full of love. You cannot find any record in the Bible that, you know, Moses got angry just because they didn't enter Canaan.
그렇게 40년을 생각하고 그렇게 참 하나 인정받고 사랑받고 생명까지도 받고 이런 모세를 보고 흙이 내서 못 들어갔다. 성경을 이렇게 잘못 아니 얼마나
Some people say that you know Moses didn't enter Canaan because he had a hot temper. There are even some members of the church who understand like that still.
다윗왕님이 모세를 모세가 흙이 내서 가나안에 못 들어갔다고 자기는 알고 있고 배웠는데
Some people come to me and say that, you know, I learned that Moses didn't enter Canaan because of his hot temper. But they come to me to repent, and they don't believe that. How touching it was to the heart of Father God was when he accepted this prayer of Moses. This confession of Moses was absolutely truthful. Moses' heart became like that of Father God, who never wants a single soul to fall into destruction. And he confessed that. Can you feel this heart of Moses? Or can you not understand his heart, saying how he could dare to go to hell on behalf of the people who repeatedly committed sins? Is there any of you who have been discouraged at heart? You don't have to be disappointed at all. As a matter of fact, this Moses did not possess this gentle heart from the beginning. Moses was a Hebrew, a descendant of Israel. But he was qualified in many fleshly aspects because he was brought up as a son of princess of Egypt. He had a precious position as a prince, stored much knowledge, and he enjoyed riches and honors. He lacked nothing physically. So it follows that within him there was self, including self-righteousness and self-pride. Moses grew up very happily as a princess. So that princess acquired in the river the abandoned Moses. Since the princess you know, told Pharaoh that the Moses, when he was an infant, was her son, because the daughter was favored and loved by the Pharaoh, Pharaoh recognized him as a princess, as a prince. Because of this self-righteousness, one day he beat an Egyptian to death who was cruelly treating a Hebrew. Because of this accident, Moses escaped with nothing into the desert of Midian. So there were many accidents and incidents inside the palace of Pharaoh.
히브리어 우리 나라에 이렇게 종으로 이렇게 우리가 다스리는 그 백성의 뭐 아들이고 이런 말들이 얼마나 분분히 돌았겠습니까?
There were so many rumors about that.
왕의 사랑받고
about like them instruction. What about the Moses? Moses was growing up because he may even to substitute the Pharaoh. So many people tried hard to destroy Joseph. But now, the fact that he is a Hebrew has been revealed. Actually, the princess of Moses, the mother of Moses, the Egyptian lady, Egyptian princess, made other people around princess keep silent so that the Pharaoh could not know Moses is a Jewish. Can you understand? If I have to explain this Bible in detail, then we cannot finish this book. there was a servant of God who fasted for 21 days. And he said, he read thoroughly the New Testament. Not the whole Bible, just the New Testament for 10 days. I mean, for 20 days.
그 종은 저에게 자랑스러워 했는지 뭔지 모르지만 그냥
The servants of God tried to show off reading the Bible, just the New Testament.
신구약을 다 띄어야죠. 제가 그렇게 말하니까 그 저것도 뭐라고 정독해서 읽어서 그래요. 정독.
So he said he read thoroughly.
정독을 했어도 물론 정독해야죠.
Of course you have to read the Bible thoroughly.
신구약 두 번쯤은 띄는
But in just 21 days, it is enough, it is long enough to read the Bible twice. I'm sorry, the servant, I don't know, I don't remember who the servant of God was, but I don't remember his name. So because of this incident, Moses escaped with nothing into the desert of Midian. In Midian, Moses came to live a life of a sheep herder, keeping the flock. He was no longer a prince, nor did he have honor and wealth, and he didn't need great knowledge. All the knowledge that he acquired in Egypt. Now, what is the use of it? While he was living the life of the shepherd rather than a prince of Egypt, he felt and thought of the love of God and the human life, and he lowered himself and became so humble. Now, why did Moses behave like that? Because he was longing for the reward in heaven. That's why he humbled himself like this. So you can see how the Moses learned about God in great amount from his biological mother. So he came to think about his own race and people. God didn't call Moses the prince of Egypt, but Moses the shepherd as the leader of Israel, who was so humble and unselfish, even to lower himself at the calling of God a few times. If his self-righteousness, self-pride, and self-frame had remained within him, how could he have endured and led the people who slandered and stood against him in the wilderness for 40 years? Moses didn't have his self in his heart. So even if he was recognized by God, he tried to humble himself before God all the time. He was the leader for more than 1 million people, but he didn't boast of himself before them, nor did he force them to do anything. Because Moses became completely humble and had cast off the evils from the heart through trials, he could lead the Israelites, whose young men were more than 600,000, out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. The most important lesson in accomplishing the kind heart is that you have to humble yourself before God and cultivate the heart of goodness and love through trials given. The humbler and emptier he became through trials, the greater love of God came down upon him, and the more he could resemble God. The measure of kindness is different according to how humble you are in the sight of God. Therefore, I wish that none of you will think like Aaron and Miriam, saying, I've cultivated my heart into truth so much, or feel satisfied, saying, I've been recognized by the people to this extent. So, may each of you throw off every form of evil, become completely sanctified, and accomplish true kindness that is acceptable to God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. I have told you that in order to accomplish spiritual kindness, you must not only become sanctified by casting away every form of evil, but also accomplish virtue. Just as a man looks better when he wears nice clothes, your kindness will shine brighter lights according to the measure of your virtue. Next time, I will explain to you what to do in order to accomplish virtue. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I have been walking the way of a servant of the Lord, I could fully sense the goodness of the heart of Moses. I've always taught many people the word of truth and showed the works of power of God so that they could believe in the living God, heaven and hell. But when I saw some of them opposing the kingdom of God and committing the sins that had led to death, I felt the heart of Moses. All the elders and the senior deaconesses, do your children live a very believing, very good believing lives? There are people who don't do well. I don't remember all the elders' names. I don't remember all the senior deaconesses' names. They know. I mean, if your children are the member and the president of a mission or a group, then it is natural that we believe that they are living good believing lives. But you don't know what your children are doing. Let's say you come to me with family. In the most of the time, those children do not look at my eyes directly. And they come to me once a year. Then can I remember him? All the church workers, you must teach your children so that your children can study well in the truth, in the Lord. You have to educate them. It is the word in the Bible. Since I was called as a servant of the Lord and founded this church, I have harbored an earnest desire to save more and more souls from playing and paying the price of going to hell. The reason that I have been able to guide as many souls is because of the amazing and indescribable love of God. When I tried my best to live by the word of God out of love for God, He gave me the willing and burning heart to lay down even my life for souls through true love and not through fear or by force. I have lived for the souls rather than for me, every moment with the determination of confessing, if I die, I'll die. As a result, God has led many souls to come forth as His precious children worthy to enter New Jerusalem. Toward whom is His love directed? It is His love is for each of you. What kind of child will you be before God who embraces and loves us with a heart as broad and huge as an ocean? I urge you to possess a broad heart that has no evil at all, but full of goodness and love, and to embrace all souls with this love. Please remember this. You should know what broad heart man is and what narrow mind person is. If you took off your coat and you put it back on, but if your piano or instrument still remembers what the Father God said, or the grace that you received, how great it is.
And
If you just say that, I forgot, I'm not doing it again, then you will surely, chances are that you will repeat it again, not remembering the people's word. You have to speak only the word of goodness and the word of, you know, kindness. You should never speak a harsh languages. So you should pray, Father God, I spoke harsh languages. Please pray for my lips so that I always talk about the truth and goodness. I'll do better. Don't say that. When you come to spirit, some people say that they will put it in their mind, but they still put that in their mind. So if you say, you know, okay, I remember, I will not do the same mistake again. Once you say that, you have to put it in your heart. You should not forget. Even if it's a small block, it is going to be your flock. I mean, it is going to be the barrier between you and your congregation. When it is time for you to do something, then since you remember, you can do it with confidence. Those who entered the third level of faith, at least they can make this kind of confession. Sometimes I review people in my office. Some people said, I'm always short of something. He said he's always short of something. Then do you think Father God is pleased with? When you say, you know, I'm short of something, the enemy devil will certainly will be pleased with you. When you say a word, you have to pray like this. Please, Father, please help me not to be short of anything. Or you can say, Father God, let me give you, I mean, please pray for my wisdom and understanding. You have to pray so that you can receive wisdom and understanding from heaven. Then how precious you will become to Father God. Even if you study good, if you say that I don't study well, then people will recognize you who don't study well. When you have the children, then you can persuade them, like, you know, if you do this, if you do that, then it will be better for you studying. It will help you. But, and if you study well, then you will please us, and you will please your mother and father. All the parents should give them, give your children motivation. If you don't give them motivation and, you know, idea of, I can do it, then they will give it up easily. So you have to give them strength. I heard that, you know, college mission members started to study well. That's what I was told. The guiding pastor has been changed to Dr. Esther Chung, and she is teaching those students to study. I heard that, you know, Dr. Chung said it is time to study, not to have a relationship. So study well. That's, I heard that that is her teaching. Do not lose the chance. That's what she said. That's what I heard from others. So I heard that, you know, college mission members are studying very well. And the numbers are increasing. I'm not sure whether it's true or not. I think they, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I hope it is true. Depending on how the leader teaches, the members and subordinates can be motivated and receive strength. May all of you lead as many souls to the path of salvation in the last days and sit closer to the throne of God as His true children. In the name of our Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your grace and love. Father, let your message become faith and life in our hearts. Father, we learned what is spiritual love. Let us come to know and let us be equipped with the spiritual kindness. In the name of our Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.
I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Father, please lay your hands on them. Give them power, power, power. Please work on them, transcending space and time. There is a request from a branch church, and then he said he wants to bring revival to the church so that, you know, 500 members can gather. But please answer his prayer. Let there be revival. And give your grace to this servant of God. Let all the after effects go away from the patient of the congregation. Father, please give this servant of God the blessing of power and blessing of wisdom. Let him understand how to receive the sovereignty over finance and word. Let all the sheep become a great man. Father, please lay your hand on this servant of God. Pastor Sang-yu Kim from India requested prayer. There's going to be a one-day summer retreat. So please bless us. And Ida Mamin Church requests a prayer. Please lay your hand on this daughter. There is a problem with her neck, the cancer. She's at the final stage of cancer. Please heal her all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. All the cancers go away. All the after effects go away. May the light come. Please be glorified through this daughter. Father, from head to toe in every intestines and organ systems, please burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And may the light come. Give them spiritual and physical health. Make their weak prosperous. Please bless, protect, and bless their home, work, and business. Burn and scorch all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Father, please protect all the congregation so that not to get stricken by a cold or eye disease. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.